Welcome back, Mystery Maniacs, for another fun-filled episode of the Mystery Machine Diaries, a podcast dedicated to the dissection and dissemination of every episode of Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, starting from the very beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am your host, Brad, and I am joined at the hip, and sometimes more, by a pup named... Yes, it is
Chris.
Christopher. And our meddling producer,
me.
Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Jinkies.
Dang, I still don't have a catchphrase.
We need to come up with a catchphrase for you, producer Daniel.
Someday he'll actually talk on the podcast. It'll be great. When Chris is out of town or something,
maybe
we'll have him co-host.
We'll see.
Hop in the van, everybody, and get ready for another fun-filled episode, as I mentioned, of the Mystery Machine Diaries. You can find us online at Facebook under the Mystery Machine Diaries, as well as on the Instagrams. Chris, where's that?
The same thing, at Mystery Machine Diaries. Leave us feedback, like our posts.
Please like us.
Send
we need validation.
And you can also find the podcast itself on Apple Podcasts at anchor.fm and on Spotify. So please, if you're
enjoying it, just keep listening.
Even if you're not enjoying it, but you like us, or just for any reason at
Chris
all, subscribe, hit that button. Hit subscribe on all the platforms.
Oh, please. And where can they watch the show if they want to watch the show?
Mystery Machine Diaries, not our show. Mysteries Inc. is on Boomerang. That's how we've been watching it. You can also find DVDs online or various. You can buy
it on
other
demand.
Services.
Your local satellite or cable company.
That's right. I think on Dish or DirecTV.
We'd like you to watch along with us, especially if you haven't seen it before or if you're going to revisit. Chris really hasn't seen the series in its entirety, so...
I have not. We're doing this... I'm watching an episode, and we do a podcast.
Just watched it right before this very podcast we're doing right now. Christopher, how was your Halloween?
Yes.
Yeah.
How was my Halloween? Halloween was awesome. Of course my Halloween was awesome. I love Halloween. Every Halloween
was
awesome.
We did have a good time. Yeah, we did.
We had a great time.
We've gone to plenty of haunted houses.
We've been to like all the horror mazes that you can reasonably do in Southern California. We went to a horrific drag show. We ate too much candy at all of these various things. Drank a little bit too much haunted
some
cocktails.
Some of us did.
Some
of us
things.
I'll let you decide which one of us was the sober one.
We saw adorable pictures of my niece all dressed up handing out candy. Maybe I'll put one of those
baby's
pictures
first
up on
Halloween.
Instagram. Yeah, little baby Garrettson is the cutest little girl
right
in the world.
Now.
So
for now. So yes, Halloween just happened. So get your discount candy while you can. And now we're going to jump into Scooby News.
Scooby News.
Thank you, Daniel. Hot off the press, we are getting a new Scooby-Doo stage show coming your way. It is called Scooby-Doo and the Lost City of Gold. Yeah.
Ooh.
It's going to be a traveling show. It'll be coming to your town.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
a whole
production.
Like,
this is the second or third one they've done. I've only seen one of them, and it was
really
pretty good.
Okay.
Scooby is going to be six foot three. He's a puppet, and takes 12 puppeteers, and took over.
It's not a guy in a costume.
It takes about 2,000 hours to create and perfect the puppet.
Wow. So I feel like I've seen. Scooby-Doo stage show at like a theme park before?
Yes, and costumes, yeah,
like
stage
Scooby-Doo
shows.
Stunt show kind of thing. Yeah, songs and costumes and everything. But, you know, you're telling
it's
me this is
on
like a full
live,
Broadway production.
Live spectacular Scooby
almost.
Is what they're calling it. And I cannot wait for us to get our tickets. And
Well, as soon as tickets are announced, we're
gonna
we're going.
And I'm very excited. Even though Lost City of Gold, not really my favorite theme. I'd rather it be haunted house style, but that was the last one.
Sure. Or witches.
I'm sure we'll have some sort of Aztec inappropriate ghost of some sort.
Do you have any
not yet
locations for this?
They're gonna announce it, I believe, at the end of the year. Probably December-ish.
Okay. Well, we're lucky being in L.A. That's where the culture
is. Yes.
So it'll certainly show
and
up.
And Kardashians.
Or Vegas. I mean, if it's in Vegas, we can drive out there and go, too. That'd be fun.
Come along with us, won't you?
Yeah. Oh, please do. We could put together a whole Scooby-Doo crew.
With candy.
Maybe lots of separate vans.
All right.
We'll see.
This is not we've said, this is not the first time Scooby's been a puppet. We've talked about the creepy Scooby puppet special they did a few years ago. Yeah.
Mystery map. Correction. Everyone is creepy except for Scooby, who is the cutest puppet I've ever seen in my life.
But yeah, they did a... If you're on Boomerang, you can watch it. It's a puppet episode, like a special direct-to-DVD.
It's weird.
Pop it up, puppet thing. And it didn't do that well, so that was the last time we saw Scooby as a puppet. Yeah. And we are back with another episode of the Mr. Machine Diaries. We're going to go through the latest episode, which is episode 9, if you're keeping score. Hopefully you are. Because it helps if you listen in order. Even though this episode is kind of shouldn't be in this order that it is. And we'll talk about that in a second.
You've mentioned before that certain episodes may have been aired out of order. And this episode definitely could have been one of those. There's not a whole lot of, overarching plot.
There's one thing that happens in the episode that really puts it...
It's fairly standalone.
...in the wrong place. But we'll get to that, because that's what we do here.
We'll get to that.
We're going to dissect the show and have fun doing it. It's episode 9, Battle of the Humongonauts. And it aired September 6th, 2010. A great year for all of us. So travel back in the mystery machine of time to 2010. We start out at the Tiki Tub, a brand new location in Crystal Cove, which I support 100%. As pup named Chris and I would love to start a haunted tiki restaurant. That's our dream.
Yeah, so you may or may not know about our love of all things tiki and tiki culture and tiki bars and giant blended fruity
it's
drinks with umbrellas
Keep
and
going.
Too much fruit in them and 60s tiki swag and art and design and interior.
We love tiki culture.
I mean, just everything. I just love tiki. Tiki culture. Love tiki. So this is great that they're in a tiki bar. And we really have been talking quite a bit about eventually starting our own haunted tiki bar, combining our love of Scooby-Doo, all things horror, and 60s tiki aesthetic. I wasn't expecting this. I didn't know we were getting a tiki bar episode.
I was very excited
and
for you
it
to kinda, see it.
This opening sequence made my night. Yeah, so it's called the Tiki Tub. And that is currently the leading name option for my tiki bar when we do open this. If we can get away with calling it the Tiki Tub
Scooby.
And having like the outline of the mystery gang running away from a monster or something, like circling the sign. Yeah,
I want to go to that.
Got a ton of ideas.
So
I want to.
So we have the Tiki
there.
Tub and we have an unusual moment of Sheriff Stone and Mayor Dad relaxing together. Having a drink. Sheriff Stone, this is the first time we've seen him without his hat on.
He looks like J. Jonah Jameson a little bit.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, he looks like he's on the prowl for some Tiki Cougar action.
Or the mayor.
He does.
They're pretty
tight. Or the mayor. But they have a very 70s aesthetic going on. They're hanging out with their tiki drinks and the sheriff is into it. He's like, this is the greatest night spot. We need a place like this.
He is much like Chris and I. He is very into the tiki scene. And
we're treated to a lovely musical number.
We get the lovely Crystal Cove resident Trini Lee singing the song "The Words Get Stuck in My Throat."
But with just one look into your face, My mind starts to drift right into space. And the words get stuck in my throat. The words get stuck in my throat.
And this is the kind of entertainment that I want to have at our Haunted Tiki Bar. We'll have Trinity there. Haunted Tiki Bar. Yeah, absolutely. Which I thought she was kind of given a bit of a Audrey Hepburn.
And there's a reason for that, Chris. I told you I would enlighten you like I do and all of our listeners. Well, Miss Trini Lee, Chris didn't get this reference, which is sort of upsetting, but Trini Lee appears. She's actually a person. Trini Lee Kearney sings a song called Stuck in My Throat.
Uh-huh. It is. It does sound different from the rest of like the sound design in the episode and the series in general. So I could tell that it was a real song cut into the episode. Oh yeah, and Brad's showing me a side by side of the animated character versus the real Trini Lee. And yeah, that's
now
yeah, that's
that song. That song was featured in a movie that came out in the late '60s, early '70s. That was called Frankenstein's Monster. Sanda versus Gaira. Gaira. And Gaira sounds like who? Sure does, Kyle.
Wait, was this a like 60s tiki Japanese crossover?
It was a kaiju film.
What's going on here?
That was very famous for a hot second in America. And
this is another thing I need to.
I'll show you the poster of it. We'll post. I'll post the whole trailer for the movie. And Chris is looking at the movie poster.
Which it's pretty kaiju-tastic. That's awesome. Well, we need to watch that. So I need to watch that, and I need to watch the. Was it the Phantom?
So the whole episode is based on a '60s kaiju film. And that song, The Words Get Stuck in My Throat, is performed in the movie at a club. It's not a tiki club, so it's I believe it's in Japan.
Okay.
So, and that's how I knew right away, wow, okay, it's they're really paying homage to this film. And at the end of the song, we get a giant monster. We get a monster.
We get a kaiju attack,
basically.
A big
green monster shows up and wrecks the entire restaurant.
I mean, he doesn't just, like, flip over a few tables and scare some patrons. Like, he destroys the whole place. I mean, the roof comes down. There are no more walls. I mean, it's a
and Sheriff Stone thinks it's part of the act and asks for an encore.
Yeah, he's digging.
And the mayor says a line that I love. He says, "A quiet town is a place where people like to spend money." He says that is a quote from Abraham Lincoln. And cut to credits, and we're back on another adventure. We cut to Shaggy's mansion. So we've just had this kaiju attack, and we cut to Shaggy's palatial estate, where Scooby is looking for his best friend, and checks the bed, and he finds Harry, the puppet, is in the bed, which is scary. And
he's
producer
back.
Daniel looks confused, so I'll show him the picture. The puppet from the Hex Girls episode, I guess he got out of jail, but he is back, and... Scooby thinks that Shaggy's in trouble because he hears him screaming or making noise.
It's a good indicator.
So he runs through the hedge maze that they have, Shining style, at Shaggy's house.
Of course they do.
And Velma and Shaggy are making out. Yeah.
Yeah. Smooching it up.
Yes.
Finally.
But Scooby is... finally realizing, finally, after how many, 9 episodes, that this is a thing.
He's
and
a bit
what does he accuse Shaggy of?
Well, he gets kind of mad. He's just like, what's going on? Why don't you explain to me? Kind of thing.
I love it when he does that.
And he's like, are you cheating on me? Very direct,
and Shaggy says,
"Very straightforward.
You're my dog."
It's like, no,
and then and Scooby is so offended by that statement that he's his dog. It is, but Scooby doesn't feel that way.
No, I guess Scooby.
I don't know. It's a weird scene.
I mean, it kind of calls into the question the whole dynamic of the
And essentially, once again,
it's a little confusing.
Velma is asking him to choose between him and the dog.
Well, and Shaggy's equivocating and doesn't want to say anything one way or the other. And I love you both equally. And Velma's like, mm-hmm, really? Equally? Okay. Like, why don't you explain what's going on? Why don't you actually tell the truth, huh? Because everyone else in the gang knows by now. They went over it in the last episode. Velma told everyone. Everyone was cool. Except for Scooby, who kind of throws a fit. He starts crying.
He does. He's very heartbroken.
Which is sad, poor guy, but also, like, you know.
You know.
Let Shaggy have a girlfriend.
Well.
Yeah.
It's all about growing up. And that's a good lesson to learn. Sometimes friends grow apart. And then we cut to the gang checking out the rubble. They're in the Mystery Machine, and they're going to the tiki bar, and they're fighting.
The tiki tub.
In the backseat. Scooby is growling at Velma. And it's just drawn on way too long.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, Scooby's reaction to Scooby being a sullen jerk is kind of funny. It's kind of cute. I like it when he does dog things, like growl and bark at people. And he mostly does that when he's angry. So that's kind of cute. But it is also like, get over yourself, man. You're all friends.
Get over yourself, Scooby. They see the destruction. Everything is way destroyed. Sheriff Stone is there. And they're asking him questions, and he's got his hat back
on. He's got his hat back
on. He's on duty.
He's on duty.
And he has coined a phrase. He's very excited because he has named the creature. He's proud of himself.
Very proud of himself.
Because he's the first to do it. He's dubbed it.
We've been attacked by the Humongonauts.
Why don't you do that more often?
It's only been Sheriff Stone scenes. But I do like the name. I mean, all kidding aside, Humongonauts is a great name.
He did, right when you think there's no one cuter in town than Sheriff Stone, we get the construction worker named Rusty Nails.
With a G.
With a G. G-N-A-L-E-S.
G-N-A-L-E-S.
He looks like Bluto from Popeye, but he's a redhead.
He does.
And that is my... biggest weakness in the bear world.
That is Brad's not-so-secret weakness.
Ginger bear.
He's a red bear. Brad's into it. And he's a construction worker. So, I mean, that's just as butch as they come.
Is good.
See? Yes.
Is good.
He can't even get words out.
And then we cut to K-Ghoul. It's always a good time when we cut to K-Ghoul.
What's up with Rusty Nails, though? He shows up on the scene.
He's a contractor.
He's like the contractor.
He's fixing everything.
Clearing
super
stuff
excited.
Out.
So, yeah. Yes, as Chris would say, he looks to be suspect number one.
He is Humongonaut size, and he's very excited about the destruction being wrought all over town. So, yeah, he's prime
and
suspect at this point.
Daphne and Velma even say
Daphne
so
even
right
says
in front of him.
Like,
I can hear you.
He says something like, you know, I'm thinking about signing the Humongonaut onto my... company, putting him on payroll, ha ha ha. And then Velma's like, yeah, that makes you sound super guilty. And he's like, yeah, I can hear you.
It's a great scene.
Oops.
And we love awkward here. That's why you're listening to this podcast. Then we cut to K-Ghoul, and Angel Dynamite is very excited, and she's playing, and the words get stuck in my throat. I guess it's a big hit in town now. And the gang is moping around. And they decide that they need therapy, which really.
Well, they're all infighting. Although really, it's basically just Shaggy, Scooby, and Velma. Fred and Daphne are chilling at this point, but the three of them are upset. And Daphne suggests, like, oh well, when me and the family get upset, we have a powwow. You're like, well, what's a powwow?
She says, when mother starts sleeping in the backyard treehouse again, we hire a doctor or someone in authority to help us work things out. Then we lock her away for a few months. Yeah, a little jarring.
Yeah, it paints a strange picture. Also, I just think it's weird. It's like, oh, we bring someone with authority in to tell us what to do.
That family needs...
It's a little weird, and that prompts everyone to look at Angel Dynamite expectantly, as in...
Are you going to help us?
So are you going to solve
our
problems for us?
But there are only two things Angel Dynamite is good at.
She's got a great.
She's good at spinning records and being a stone cold fox. And she walks out of the room.
And then she cackles and locks herself in the sound booth as if to say,
which is
get out of my radio station, kids.
Her best moment thus far in the series.
So far, yeah, it really
and,
is.
And as she leaves them to that, we cut to Fred's Mayor Dad's house and all the dead animals adorning the walls. And they're sitting for a meeting. They're going to have a meeting. And Fred, this is actually a big moment. Fred decides a good way to keep them together. He's going to give them a name.
He actually has a really good point here. He says we need something to unite us, and something that we can all kind of come together on. And that's why I think we should have a group name, and
Mystery
we should name ourselves Mystery Inc. after the people who've come before us and the history behind what we're doing. It's kind of touching.
I mean, it's a
pretty
momentous moment in the show.
It is. They get their name. They get their official name, Mystery Inc. For those of you watching along at home, Mystery Inc. is the name of the show that we are doing the podcast about.
Thanks.
So that's the connection
for
there.
For clearing that up.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just making
wow.
sure.
Wow. And not only that.
That was the sound of the light bulb going off.
And not only
that.
Put that
all together.
He has another plan. He's got them outfits.
Oh, he doesn't just have outfits. He has uniforms. Because what is a team without a uniform? And can
you
I
can.
Just say, despite the fact that they spend the rest of the I'm gonna
do it.
They spend the rest of the episode making fun of these uniforms. I want one and I think they look great. They all look great. They're amazing.
They look like
and they
Power
should wear
Ranger
them for
outfits.
The rest of the series.
And they all have ascots.
Yeah.
Each
okay.
one is color coded.
Uh-huh.
And even
yeah.
Scooby gets one.
You haven't listed a single
they have the shoulder, the padded little bit. Like the X-Men from the first X-Men movie.
Yeah, they're kind of X-Men, Power Rangers.
With the pads on the shoulder.
Like motorcycle, like moto GT kind of, like the quilting on the shoulders and above the knees. And the ascots that don't, and there's like a
yeah,
sweater.
Yeah, and they show them standing,
the ascot.
They show them standing
none
Avengers style
so
on a pile of rubble. And then these two teenage girls
yeah,
laugh
they do
as
the
they
power
walk
pose.
By. They should have thrown a rock at those girls.
Well, they
I mean,
don't know anything about
they're pretty
about
cool.
They're
pretty
they
cool costumes.
I hope a Humonga Knot comes and tears their houses down.
Wow.
Yeah.
And by the way, the name of the Humonga Knot movie that it's based on is called War of the Gargantuas in America. War of
the Gargantuas. Okay, because I was thinking Humonga Knot. And the character design and the name Humonga Knot made me think that this was another Hanna-Barbera reference or something. It looks like it's got to be a play
War
on something.
War of the Gargantuas. And
okay. What's a gargantua?
You tell me. Did we miss the fact that there was two gargantuas? Did I forget to mention that? Ruh-roh.
We did forget to mention that, yeah. So we were attacked initially by a green gargantua. That's the
and
one that
Sheriff Stone says it's a good thing there aren't two of them.
Humonga Knot. Humonga Knot. And now we have a red Humonga Knot popping out, too. Oh, producer Daniel is showing me some gargantuas. And I got to say that they look like Humonga Knots. So, all right. I see
you should
it.
All watch the movie, especially when it's dubbed.
Okay.
It's insanely stupid.
I bet it's great.
You've seen
Sounds
it?
It's amazing.
Wait, hold on. This just in. Producer Daniel spoke, number
going
one.
Going back a second. Sorry, we're getting some
he
news
He said
from
he
producer
watched
Daniel.
It every day for 5 years.
Because
it's your brother's favorite movie? And your nephews love it?
And currently his two young nephews
are
Why
aren't
nephews
you talking on this podcast?
Wow.
I don't remember.
How did we not know this? We should have put you on as a guest
wow.
host on this one.
So you know this film. Like, intimately.
Well.
Oh, and that's why you knew the song. Oh, it's all this mystery is solved. Who cares about the rest of the episode? This is much more interesting. So you watched the film as a little kid?
By the way, hi, everybody. My brother has an affinity for the big
kaiju.
Big huge movies, so he would watch kaiju movies. So he'd watch Godzilla like crazy. He watched Godzuki, Godzilla, those whole things, and he would watch as well this one and
Valley of Quan Chi. Oh boy,
He's got, so I grew up watching this stuff, hating it, but the dub thing threw me off. But they were not
very
good looking gargantuous. But it's, but the, now that you're saying all this, I'm like, oh, I know this episode. So it makes a lot of sense now. Because my father would always sing this, and the word is stuck in my
throat. Now it'll be stuck in your head. Wow. This episode is a milestone for
not
only did
they
get their name incorporated, but producer Daniel spoke. And it made sense, and it was apt to the episode. Wow.
I'm actually enjoying this episode now a lot more that we're talking about it, and I'm learning so much about producer Daniel than I did while we were watching it.
I've seen the movie but years ago when they used to play those kind of films on Saturday afternoons. We'll post a link to it. You can probably watch the whole thing on YouTube.
Yeah, I can't. I don't think I've ever seen the Gargantuas. And when you said Gargantua, I immediately thought of like the Triceratops beetle from like the Herculoids or something.
You're bringing it back to Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah. That's what I was assuming. Well, I like that they're going for obscure, weird kinds.
So yeah.
Into it.
And so there's two of them. There are two of them. Long story short, there are two.
Where were we? Oh yeah. So there was another.
One is.
God, now
one
I want to call them all
gargantuas,
but it's.
I'm colorblind,
red.
So I don't know.
The second one is red. Well, they make a comment about how, Sheriff Stone assumes that
they're
from
real
space. And he says, well, they have to be aliens because one is green, and green means radioactive.
And he
radioactive
says gamma rays.
From space.
He does.
Gamma rays, which, you know, that's a thing. And then we get the red. Gargantuloid,
Humongonauts.
Green. What are they called again? Humongonaut. Yeah, that guy.
Whew. Maybe we'll have Daniel talk some more. So anyway, they go back to the wreckage. They're in their Power Ranger suits. People laugh at them. And Rusty Nails is still pleased, thinking about the Humongonauts as his partners, like we said before. And the gang decide they're going to check out...
we got to go check out
Rusty Nails' construction site.
Yeah.
Kids don't go to construction sites.
Which I can't argue with that. Oh, hot construction bear. Maybe we should go check out
your
place.
I had a dime every time that happened. And in between all this, we keep hearing commercials for two insurance companies throughout. There's Max Minner Insurance and Jax Minner Insurance. And they have billboards all over town.
They have billboards all over town, too. Which we haven't really clocked them as potential suspects yet, but their signs are all either red or green.
I'm colorblind.
They are.
Folks.
Oh, which
sorry.
You wouldn't know because you're colorblind. Yeah, that's actually, I noticed
Daniel's
that at the very
laughing.
Beginning of the episode.
It's true. I cannot see color, so I'm sorry.
So as soon as we had a red and a green.
I didn't know there were different colors till they said
the first
something.
First thing I thought was, yeah, they had different color signs.
Oh my gosh, the insurance signs are different colors? That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, all the billboards.
Back to the show. They are teenagers playing at a construction site at this point, and Shaggy and Scooby are still, they're not talking to each other, but this time they're not even looking at each other, so they keep falling because they can't make eye contact.
Stumbling
and
over
Shaggy
each other.
And Shaggy calls them out on how stupid that is. And before they can realize how stupid it is, Humongonaut shows up. I don't know which color.
I think it's the green one.
And Rusty is there, though. Correctly. Rusty Nails is there as the Humongonaut attacks and destroys the construction site.
Is it both that show up at the construction site? Or maybe it's just one. But they destroy Rusty's...
It's only one. It's only one.
Shop, basically. Okay, yeah, so I think it's the green one. It destroys Rusty's, like, his whole operation, basically. And Rusty's there the whole time, so they're like, well,
he's like,
I guess
oh, you
it's
don't
not
say.
You.
As his whole livelihood's been destroyed
really,
all around
thanks.
Him. They're pretty nonchalant about all these businesses being destroyed.
Well, hopefully he's well insured.
Yes. Hopefully
which
he
come back
is. Jeepers.
In this episode.
they're in the Mystery Machine again, our favorite place to be, and Mr. E comes on the radio.
Yeah, he interrupts
does.
Their radio broadcast. Which
and this is where I get a little upset.
Than phone calls
he calls them Mystery Incorporated. How does he know they're called that? They haven't announced it.
Well, he has been leading him down the... They have been he has been leading them down this path and showed them who Mystery Incorporated were before.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Maybe that's just his own wishful
this
thinking.
This seems out of place.
It's a bit
we should also say that they're...
Well, I like how that's what bugs you rather than how he managed to broadcast
you
himself.
You know, he can make 8-track tapes. He's pretty good with these things. I forgot to say that their uniforms have the Mystery Inc. logo, the magnifying glass with the question mark inside of it. So he already created their logo as well.
They do.
Which I love.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mr. E can hear them and they can hear him through the radio.
Also through the
radio. He tells them to look at the signs that are all around them and listen to add knowledge and to open their minds to ensure a speedy solution. And once again, he hangs up. And he mocks Scooby-Doo before leaving. It's like,
oh, yeah, he does. Scooby's like,
Rats Rit.
Yes, Rats Rit.
So you know he's listening to them. But, yeah, not cool, Mr. E. Speech impediments are no one's fault. The next day, they ask Mayor Dad to do something about the Humongonauts. He and the sheriff have their own plan to catch said beasts. And it is to have a giant stadium show.
It's basically a destruction derby starring Humongonauts without actually booking the Humongonauts in advance. So surely this
have,
is going to go well.
Renamed the stadium that we saw with the Hex Girls. It's been renamed. The Terror Dome is now Crystal Cove Stadium. Boo. Yeah. Stupid. And they put... Their idea is to put all these valuable objects in the middle of the stadium on the football field, like a yacht and gold and things, and they sold tickets to it. So the stadium is packed, and people have bought tickets to watch the Humongonauts fight. They believe the Humongonauts will come, and
they figure if there's enough loot. That, yeah, the Humongonauts will just show. Because as far as we can tell so far, their MO is to just
who else
show up and smash
them. Daniel.
Although Velma has talked
who
about...
Who else smashes?
Hulk! Smash!
Thank you, sir.
That is Hulk's defining characteristic. As well as being green and possibly
And he's also
like,
red.
Like Sheriff Stone said earlier.
There is a red Hulk.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
there is
and
a red
a green Hulk.
Hulk.
So,
snap.
Layers. Onions have layers. Scooby-Doo episodes have layers.
That's good.
So yes, they've surrounded the whole stadium with the amazing Crystal Cove police, which will go well.
With net
and Fred is just in the stadium laughing at their traps. And
yeah, he's like, well, they got a 20-pound jig on the test boom for the trap wire. What amateurs. Just spouting off all this technical jargon
and
about
cut
it.
Cut to before that. I forgot
it's
to
like
mention.
It's like when I talk about beer.
That when the mayor dad is telling the plan to the kids, he says that he has his own trap. And Fred is crushed. How could you build a trap without me? And Daphne even steps up and is like, how could you?
And then
Mayor Dead says, buckets of bear bait, Fred.
It's just business.
Buckets of bear bait. That's me.
Buckets of bear bait.
I'm a bucket of bear bait.
Are you a bucket of bear bait? All right.
So is Daniel sometimes. Oso grande. Olay. So they're back at the trap. Fred is dissecting their trap and laughing at them and the tensile strength of their netting. And Shaggy has a Humongonaut hat on, which is pretty sweet.
It is pretty cool. So he and Scooby both
each one
have
is each one is rooting rooting
Scooby
for
has
a different
giant like
Humongonaut.
Foam finger, but it's a monster hand. Oh yeah, Scooby gets really mad at Shaggy.
And he growls at him
for
again.
Green.
And
he's not happy.
Basically, Velma has the idea, like, yeah, we're not going to find him here. Because
they're not showing up.
5 years later, that most of us have solved.
Well, she maps out, she says something about mapping the locations of the. Because
she has her laptop with her.
And she's figured out something after looking at that pattern. She says, oh, a pattern is starting. She doesn't tell us what it is, but apparently she's figured out a pattern. And Shaggy says something along the lines of like, oh, if only Mr. E's clue was a little more clear. And that clicks for Velma. And she says, oh, the listen and the ads.
We got it, Velma. We're already there.
She kind of starts to. Yeah, she starts to put it together, but we've already figured it out.
So she takes the gang to another location, which is a boat, an abandoned boat repair shop. And she is certain that the Humongonauts will show up there.
Which makes no sense for why the Humongonauts would attack, but makes perfect sense in the Scooby-Doo universe of, well, let's go to the abandoned boatyard. It's a very classic location, which
and
I do really like.
Just like Velma predicted, the Humongonauts show up and they start beating the crud out of each other.
Yeah, they both show up, and this is the first time we've seen them really go
just
at it.
Just kiss already.
I kind of thought up until this point they were just destroying
things.
They
have tension.
But they go for each other immediately.
It boils over.
Yeah, it's like a
it sure
WWE
is.
Cage match.
Yeah, they're going through tables and things. Yeah, they're...
Yeah, red versus green. Green versus red. They're throwing each other around.
I can't tell who's who because I'm colorblind.
It's just
gray
guy versus gray guy. Yeah. It's a solid fight, though. And they're very really supernaturally strong. I don't think we've mentioned this thing so far.
They're very large, and they throw objects much heavier than they themselves.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the man crab.
Yeah.
From before. Yeah, it's been a little while since we've seen a really like supernaturally.
And they're very Hulk-like in their strength.
Monster. They're very
They end up both falling into a water trap with a net,
which Fred activates, and the net pulls them out of the water.
You were upset by this.
I thought it was really rude. I was a little upset by this. Was it Velma?
Your traps actually
worked. Hey, Fred, one of your traps worked, and he's like, hey now.
It's exactly what you said.
My exact reaction too. I was like, hey now, like his traps have been working fairly consistently with the occasional misfire so far, you guys. I also don't see anyone else volunteering to put these traps together.
It's true.
So
step it up.
Like, yeah.
And yeah, Mayor Dad shows up for the sheriff, and Mayor Dad is also.
And his first comment is, Fred, one of your traps. Like, he's just a jerk in this episode. Shouldn't he be like, wow, son, like, you put all this effort into a trap, and I tried to make a trap, and it didn't work, but yours did work, and I'm really proud of you. This
I will tell you.
No, none of that.
You will get
jerk
some father-son bonding time a little bit later, and some closure on why he's a jerk.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope that either their relationship gets better, or Mayor Dad.
All these things and more.
Other than his amazing exclamations,
all these things will become
he's a jerk.
Crystal clear.
Well, Bucket's a bear,
yes.
Brad.
So we have our monsters are trapped, and Sheriff Stone still thinks they're aliens.
He goes to shake one of their hands while they're in the net. It's like, as an emissary of Earth, I just want to welcome you to our planet and hope you don't take over the world.
And Velma's like, shut
thank
up.
You very much.
They're not.
She's like, dude, you idiot.
And they unmask him, and it's Max and Jax Minner. Who would have thought?
Knew it.
And they're both voiced by one of your favorites, producer Daniel, Tom Kenny, SpongeBob.
Hey. And they're also.
They're both really hot.
Both kind of cute.
They're both like oldie timey circus
bears.
Performer looking, like the big strongman look. But
as is Scooby Doo tradition, we immediately get an unsolicited backstory.
And one has a scar over his eye, and the other doesn't. So.
Which is.
So basically, they both were in the circus performers together.
They were circus performers together. They
and
were strong men.
They had an act for Hercules apes, as they called it, and then they split up to join different circuses.
And I like that Sheriff Stone
immediately
points
is a
out,
much better.
Humongonauts is a much catchier name. Like, yes,
and,
yes it is. Thank you.
The brothers went their separate ways, but somehow both opened insurance companies in Crystal Cove right next to each other.
They're also both vaguely European. I'm going to go out on a limb and
they're
say
very
Austrian and say this is kind of an Arnold Schwarzenegger moment.
Yeah, they
too.
Have the gap in the tooth. Yeah.
They have the gap in the tooth, and they're both giving a bit of like, well, we were bodybuilders and we hate each other.
Yes. And their goal was to put each other out of business by destroying...
We just hate each other. So they were
whoever
destroying
was
each other's property.
Other, that's basically what they were going to destroy.
Which I also really liked. Yeah. Which I also really liked. Well, why'd you do it? Well, for the money, of course. Also, we hate each other. But it's like that's very on the nose and self-aware for Scooby-Doo because it almost always is about the money in the classic Scooby-Doo. But it's not pointed out directly as like, oh, you greedy jerk. But this time they're like
the
straight up
money
oh, yeah,
and hatred.
No, it was money.
Good old American values. And Mayor Dad says, prancing piccolos for some reason.
Prancing piccolos.
And Daphne
that's
proudly
right, yeah.
points out they started to work like a team again. And then they throw their uniforms away, which made Chris very upset. And Fred.
It did. So anyone out there who's into cosplay, costume design, anything like that, if you want to help me put together one of these Mystery Inc. uniforms, if we could get a whole crew... That's my current.
This is where you push the
rut-row
button. That's not.
Oh, we can even get the Scooby-Doo sized one for Max.
Thanks,
oh,
Daniel.
So cute.
You were doing so well in this episode. You talked in everything, and you hit the wrong button.
He's back in his comfort zone with the soundboard.
If you know of a new good sound producer in the area, please let us know. Sorry, sir. Sorry. And we end with Velma and Scooby asking Shaggy to decide again.
Pick one or
the
other.
And as usual, Shaggy says, oh, look, there's a blue humongonaut, and runs away.
Everyone
and that's
run!
That's how we end it. Still with no closure.
I think that's how I'm going to get out
there's
of awkward situations.
There's a blue humongonaut.
Now, from now on, yeah. Next time you ask me a strange question, I'm going to say, there's a blue humongonaut, run! And then just sprint away and take an Uber home and hope you forget.
And we're really
it,
glossing over the fact that Daphne's mom might be insane. Because she had to be put away for a few months.
Oh, yeah. We got a little mention.
That was kind of a throwaway by Daphne. I think that was her cry for help that no one really.
I think it
might
have been.
Jinkies!
Yeah.
Well, we've only met one of her sisters in any like real
the military
capacity,
one, yeah,
the military sister, and she was really intense and maybe had her own issues going on too. So that family might
the Blakes
be a little
are
less happy than it seems.
They need therapy.
They have a ton of money, and anyone with that much money is kind
deep.
Of weird.
That's deep.
Does something to you.
I'm gonna call it. There was no. Mythology expanding, except for Mystery Incorporated, they name themselves. So I'll count that as a overreaching arc.
And we got some more development of Scooby and Shaggy and Velma.
It's too much.
That whole relationship. Well, I think we're on a pretty clear path that, like, fingers crossed, the next episode that relationship ends because, like, they're on the rocks. It needs to. You're not good
but
for
they
each other,
once again, kids cartoon. We are dissecting a kids cartoon, and as with every episode, we grade this on a paw scale of a possible four paws. Four paws, of course, being the best, and one paw being not so best.
And zero paws being an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Oh yeah, good one. Good one. Bazinga.
Zing.
So, Pop Chris, what say thee?
So, I started out this evening pretty firmly at a two paw, but now that we've talked about it more and I understand the kaiju references.
Chris loves
and,
Godzilla.
I've had a chance to listen to the song culture. A little bit more. And, I mean, the tiki culture honestly is why I gave it a two. Without the tiki reference, I was like out of one with this episode. It's like the last
they're
episode.
Filler episodes.
A little boring. It doesn't push the greater narrative along. So that I was sitting at a two. After all the kaiju references and everything else,
wow.
I'm giving it a three.
All right.
Yeah. Turn
I
the corner
am staying
on it.
A solid two paws firmly on the ground. I didn't care for the monster of the week. I do love the reference to kaiju cinema and the tiki stuff. But if you're going to go all in, just have Godzilla versus King Kong, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. I don't think Tupac is unreasonable.
But if this gets anyone to watch The War of the Gargantuas,
Tiki Godzilla Love is going to give it a 3.
You know, then our work here on this planet is done. Now, Daniel, how many paws would you give this episode?
For my nephews, who I grew up hating these movies, by the way. But it's now very beautiful to see my two little nephews loving what their father loved, like legitimately. So for them, and because of hearing all the references, I haven't seen the episode, but hearing all the references, they nailed it. They got pretty good in War of the Gargantuas right there. So it's going to be
a tale. Well, I'll accept it.
Three paws and a tail.
That's high praise indeed.
All right.
Watch it for yourselves. Like we said, watch it for yourselves, Daniel, our producer who doesn't watch the show.
So is this one of the ones that we thought
yes.
might have been?
I thought it should be before the Gnome episode.
So yeah, we mentioned that at the top of the episode. So what was it that leads you to believe that this
just
was
because of
out of order?
Just their bickering seems more in place before the Gnome episode. Because they're in a pretty good place in the Gnome
episode.
It did
seem like they kind of had more resolute. Yeah, that's true.
It
that's
just seems like
point.
They're backpedaling, and the whole Mystery Incorporated being coined by Mr. E, not knowing.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, right, right.
You know.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that's going to do it for us, gang. So we're going to get back in the van and get ready for our next fun-filled podcast where you can find us. Chris, where can we find us? Where are we?
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at Mystery Machine Diaries for both of those. And you can find the podcast itself on Apple Podcasts, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. Check us out on the Google. Send us some direct
messages. If you've
messages,
seen War of the Gargantuas, let us know. And if not, watch it, yeah.
Or if you want to see War of the Gargantuas, let us
if
know.
If we want a War of the
we'll
Gargantuas special, it has to be better than the episode.
I do.
Until then, the words are getting stuck in my throat, so we are going to say adieu for now from Crystal. Good one. From Crystal Cove, I am Brad, your ghost host, joined by a crooner named Chris. He's not paying attention. Yes.
My name's Chris.
Until then, everyone, unpleasant dreams. Watch more Scooby-Doo. Get your cheap Halloween candy. I'm waiting for producer Daniel to do our sign-off. And here it comes.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. See you all next time.
We'll be back next week with a new episode and new problems.